We have been in a long series in the life of Jacob and have come tonight to the last chapter of Genesis. Do you believe that it was 2 years ago when we began a series in the book of Genesis? I started preaching the first Sunday of January a couple of years ago from the very first chapter, the first verse of the book of Genesis, and I kind of preached through the first 11 chapters of Genesis on Sunday mornings. And then we switched over on Sunday nights when we got to the story of Abram, the story of Abraham and Sarah and God's call on this man's life. And we have been reading through and studying through and looking through the story of the patriarchs since then. We have looked at the life of Abraham and then the life of Isaac and then the life of Jacob. And we come tonight to the very last story about Jacob that we find. I have enjoyed Genesis so much. This is the second time that I preached through Genesis since I've been a pastor, and I don't want to wait another 15 years to do it again. I could just start again. There's just so much in these great stories of the Bible, great history, great concepts, great things that God can teach us. I believe that about every book of the Bible, and Genesis is among them. God has something to say to us, and I've enjoyed reading and looking at it. And we're coming to the end. We began in Genesis chapter 1, the creation and God's power and God's awesome nature, and created the world and the 7 days of creation and all that went in that, and stories of Adam and Eve and the first sin that came into the world, and Cain and Abel. And we moved on and looked at the spreading of humanity across the earth and the time of Noah's flood, and spent quite a few, about 8 messages on Noah and his life, and then the Tower of Babel. And then we kind of came to the study of Abraham and how God reached down into history and began a movement. He began a history with man that would lead all the way through the Old Testament, all the way up to the coming of the Messiah, and how from Abraham on is a narrative story, continuous story of God's hand on his people, and every one of them stories are precious. And so tonight we come to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis has 50 chapters, and there are 2 more stories that I want to look at tonight, and then next Sunday night, looking at the very last end of Genesis chapter 50 and the death of Joseph and some things that we know about God's revelation in that very last part of the 50th chapter. I want to begin tonight and read a few verses, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the death of Jacob, and then I'm going to read a little bit more in a few minutes. If you want to follow along in your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 49. I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 49 and the first 3 verses of chapter 50. And look tonight, beginning to look here at the death of Jacob. Genesis chapter 49, verse 33. You'd go on to that next slide. Would you do that, please? Chapter 49. When Jacob had finished giving instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, he breathed his last, and he was gathered to his people. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Jacob's death, really, and then the death of Joseph later on at the end of chapter 50 is a turning point in Old Testament history. It really is a transition from the patriarchs and their stories, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then son Joseph, and then there's an interlude of time that we don't have a lot of information about as the Israelites multiplied in Egypt, and until the day came that God finally heard the cries of those descendants of Abraham, and they cried out for help, and God sent a man, Moses, to rise up and to deliver them and bring them out of Egypt. But this story of Jacob's death and then the rest of chapter 50 is a unique turning point. Jacob's life has been absolutely amazing. Grandson of Abraham, a colorful man, I mean, with just amazing stories. Much of his life has been painful. There are many things that happen in Jacob's life that we learn from. Jacob is a man that we have as an example of what we learn about character, and God teaches us through both the good and the bad of people in the Bible. Sometimes people have the impression, well, if it's in the Bible, it's always a good story, and it's a great, all the people in the story were great people. The truth is, all the people in the Bible were real people. They were humans, and we learn from their story. We learn from sometimes their successes and things that went well, but we also learn from the things that hurt them and from the bad decisions that they made and things that went on in their lives that are difficult. And Jacob is like that. He's a man upon whom God placed his hand. God called him. He was a man of the covenant of God, and God worked in his life and through his life, but that didn't mean that his life didn't have a lot of struggle and times that were very difficult. Jacob lived a long life. He had many sons, 12 sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and he lived to see those great-grandchildren. Well, we're told here that before Jacob died, he gave instructions to his sons. What was important to Jacob was that they would take him back to the land of promise. And so he brought his sons in, and he said to them, I want you to promise to me that when I die, he knew he was soon to die, that they would take him back and bury him in the place where Abraham and Sarah were buried and where Isaac and Rebekah were buried and where his first wife Leah was buried. And so it was important to Jacob that he would be taken back to that place, to those burial places where his family was, but also back to the place that he knew that God had promised to Jacob, to Isaac, and to Abraham. And so it was very important to go back there. And then Jacob breathed his last. He was an old man. Jacob's life was long. 147 years old Jacob was when he died. He spent the last 17 years of his life in Egypt. When you look at the overall picture of Jacob's life, the last 17 years he spent in Egypt. God blessed Jacob with the opportunity to be with his long-lost son that he thought was dead. God gave him 17 more years after that great reuniting. And so God blessed him. I mean, even way back earlier than that, there are scriptures that talk about how frail he was and that he might die being so frail. But God allowed Jacob to live through all that stuff that happened and the selling of his son into slavery and those years that he was there before he was revealed. And then when he was revealed, God allowed Jacob 17 more years. It had truly kind of become like a full circle of his life. He was born in that land promised to Abraham and to Isaac, but very soon, because of the deception and because of the, as I said, that part of his character that was not very good, he had to flee from his home and go to Haran, and there he married his first two wives, and he lived for a long time, and then God finally allowed him to come back to the promised land, and he lived there for a long time, and then at the end of his life here, he, because of the famine in Egypt, he moved down to Egypt and lived those last 17 years there, and then his bones were taken home. Well, chapter 50, verse 1, the reaction of Joseph when he dies. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. We know many things about Joseph's life. One of them is that his emotions have always been strong. They have been expressed and they've been recorded in the Bible. Joseph was a man who shed tears often. And all throughout, as we have looked at Jacob and then Joseph's story, we have seen a certain tenderness in Joseph's heart. And he has wept often. He has wept many times and recorded of when he wept and why he wept. And we have the next to last time in this story that we read of the tears of Joseph that come. Just think of his emotions, and somehow this man who becomes this great leader in Egypt is full of these emotions that come out again this time when Jacob, his father, dies. And then Jacob is embalmed. Joseph commands that he would be embalmed, and the process takes 40 days, and then the entourage of the family packs up and goes back to Canaan to to bury him. There's a time of mourning. A reference here is to 70 days, 40 days of preparation, 70 days of mourning. And that would be the kind of the model, or that would be what the Egyptians did. And the story tells us that Joseph and all of Egypt, it says, mourn for Joseph's father. Well, then life goes on, and we move on in the story to another chapter that's really the focus of our message tonight, and that is a story of forgiveness. And so tonight we turn our attention to what happened to Joseph. What happened to Joseph's brother after Jacob died? Kind of a story between Joseph and his brothers, and kind of the completion of a story that has been running through the last seven chapters of this relationship between Joseph and his brothers. And so turn with me on to verse 15, and we're going to pick up at verse 15 to verse 21 and turn our attention to this story of forgiveness. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I'm reminded when I think about this part of the story that sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. Sometimes when we're dealing with life's pain and life's problems and failures and mistakes, sometimes mistakes or sin that other people have committed against us, and sometimes because of our own choices and where we've fallen short, that sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. I would imagine tonight, as each of you think about your lives and we go back over the stories and the chapters, that there would be some who would say that this statement is true for them. Maybe the hardest person for you to forgive in your life is yourself. These brothers struggled with being forgiven. They struggled with what it meant to really receive the forgiveness of their brother. It's kind of sad when you see chapters ago that Joseph freely, it seems from everything Joseph does, he does everything he can to express a forgiving spirit and that he was not going to hold any grudge against his brothers. And yet, even to the end of Joseph's life, these brothers continue to think about and wrestle with to be forgiven. One of the things I love about the stories of Jacob and Joseph is they really are real about life. And I feel like when I think about this story and I think about some of the parts of the story, it just reminds me that the Bible is very practical for us. And as we think about the need of forgiveness and the struggle with forgiveness, that there's things from this chapter that speak to us. Here are these brothers who have been forgiven by their brother Joseph, yet they struggle to know that, they struggle to trust that, they struggle to believe that. So I'm wondering tonight as we think about this story, have you ever been in a place in your life when it was hard for you to forgive yourself for some wrong that you've done? Realize that you're not alone, and the Scriptures have a story that help us to look at that. When I think about it, even to the end, some 38 years after the selling of their brother into slavery, that sense of guilt, that sense somewhat of dread, that sense of shame, that sense that there's going to be consequences to what we did was still there for them. 38 years is a long time. 38 years from when Joseph was 17 years old and sold into slavery as a teenager. 38 years later, I realized Joseph would have been 55 if we got the chronology right. That's my age. Again, halfway to something. 55 years old, Joseph was when his father Jacob died. 38 years these brothers have been wrestling with the guilt and letting go and believing forgiveness. The story of Joseph obviously is something that we can look as an example to what the forgiveness of God is. And Joseph as a human, and he wrestled through the issues of forgiveness. And for a long time, we looked in the account that we read how Joseph struggled with, what do I do with this pain? What do I do with this hostility from my brothers? What do I do with them now that I have power over them? Now that I could exact revenge, now that I'm in control, now that I can really put it to them. And we saw that Joseph did wrestle with that. The truth is, when somebody's hurt us, there is a time of wrestling with that. God knows it's a process. God knows that it's not always easy and it's not always quick when there's someone that needs to be forgiven. Sometimes it takes a long time. And I don't want to infer from this story that Joseph just right away was able to forgive. And, you know, it just happened immediately. He wrestled with it. We saw the struggle that he had, but he did come to the place where he fully forgave his brothers. And that's a beautiful story. But it was a process. His brothers still felt guilty. You can hear from their words. They were guilty. They worried whether or not they would still be punished. They didn't really know. They struggled. I don't know which brothers and how strong, or all of them, or the sense of guilt was so strong and that they had held the secret so long. And I don't know if they ever really did tell Jacob what really happened. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if they just kind of, well, somehow he made it back. He wasn't killed by the beast, and whatever happened there, we're not. I don't know how truthful they were with their father Jacob over those 17 years. But when the 17 years was gone and Jacob was gone, then it all became fresh again. It came back to them. The story reminds me, too, that we can be so deeply affected and imprinted by life's pains and heavy situations that we may struggle also with not only being able to forgive, but also with the ability to be forgiven. Both of them are part of this story. The emotions, obviously, for these brothers were still there. 38 years later, the guilt, the memories, maybe remembering back to childhood and how this little brother stood up and told him that they would all bow down to him and how he was his father's favorite. And we've talked about how the favoritism was so painful in a patriarchal family. And that's one of the negative things we learn when we read of the patriarchs, how damaging the favoritism was. Maybe they remember that. They remember the coat of many colors. They remember the love their father had for their brother, and those emotions were strong. And then the emotions of what it was like when the brother came out to them and tattletaling on them, and just the attitude that their brother had, and how in anger they took him and they threw him in a pit, and then they wrestled with what to do about him, and some of them wanted to kill him. And then the brother stood up, Judah, and said, "No, we can't do that." And then the caravan came by, and they sold him into slavery, and what they had felt every day since then, struggling to come to terms with their lives and their decisions. Or maybe up till now, they had kind of buried those feelings. They buried those emotions. Maybe they had put them away 38 years ago, maybe 17 years ago, but verse 15 says it all. Verse 15 tells us exactly what they felt and they sensed. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" They knew their guilt. They knew everything that they had done wrong. Jacob's protection was now gone. Maybe they felt over the last 17 years that their dad is not going to let anything happen. We're just kind of one big happy family again. And, you know, we just kind of, we can overlook it. Joseph is so happy to have his father back that he's not even thinking about doing anything to us. He's not, but now that Jacob's gone, the protection is lost. Kind of that covering is gone. And sometimes when we're delivering or when we're dealing with forgiveness issues, there's other things that kind of shelter us from really dealing with the issues that are deep in the heart. And Jacob's life perhaps was like that. He provided this protection. this barrier between the brothers and them dealing with the guilt and being able to accept the forgiveness of Joseph. They were unsure of what Joseph would do. They clearly believed that Joseph could, had the power to, exact his revenge and do whatever he wanted to. Verse 18 tells us that his brothers came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. I mean, they pretty much thought it was hopeless at this point. They just came and, okay, Dad's protected us, but now it's over. Now it's time. Now the hammer's going to fall. Now, again, not really understanding what forgiveness really was. They struggled to understand what forgiveness really is. And so they came. They were carrying a great weight. They were carrying the weight of guilt. They were carrying the weight of shame. They were carrying the weight of memories. And so this is their heart. This is where they're at. And so what do we find out about Joseph? Again, this man that seems so great in so many ways. What do we hear from Joseph? Once again, how does he react? How does Joseph react? This man that we have seen such deep character and faith in him. What do we learn about him? We learn something about these brothers. But again, the first thing we read about Joseph is he weeps. Last time, you know, we've read this now, I think 7 times, Joseph weeps. And once again, he weeps again. Wonder if Joseph thought, they really don't get it. They don't understand it. I wonder if he thought, my brothers not understand. They don't have the faith that I do. They don't understand who God is. He weeps. When their message came to him, Joseph wept, it says. For the last time we read that. We've read it many times before. But again, here's this Joseph, man, full of emotion, full of faith. In some ways, it just seems like he's so beyond his brothers in being able to deal with it. He's already forgiven. The issue is not to them. And he says to them, don't be afraid. Think of the words we hear Jesus say often, don't be afraid. And other places in the scriptures, don't be afraid. The book of Joshua, don't be afraid, God said. Joseph says those words to his brothers. Joseph also expressed great faith. Again, not only did he have words that were right, but he also expressed a deep faith in who God was. And those that are able to forgive understand deeper who God is and what God's forgiveness is. Joseph says to his brothers, I promise to support you. I'm not going to take away your food. I'm not going to take away what you need, your grain and your animals. I'm not going to take away your land. He says, you don't have to worry about that. He assures those brothers. I mean, he doesn't hold back and just let them stew on it, let them think about it, let them wonder about it for a long time. Right away, Joseph, what does he do? He extends that olive branch. He extends that blessing. He extends the promise that he will support them. And again, what does Joseph do? He demonstrates what real forgiveness is. It is reaching out, sometimes again and again, to assure of the forgiveness of the heart. He promised his support. He spoke kindly to them. Everything in his heart was a heart of forgiveness. Everything that Joseph did and said in this story shows us that the depth of his faith was there in both his words and his actions. Joseph and this story is a great example of forgiveness. And so tonight, as I think about the conclusion of this story and I think about what it says to me, one is the importance of forgiveness and what Joseph is able to do. As we come toward the end of this man's life, what does it really take to forgive? What is it we see from his life that tells us what it takes to forgive? And how do we put that into practice? When we struggle, if we have someone in our life that, boy, it hurts. Maybe it goes back 38 years. Maybe it goes back longer than that. Maybe there's someone in your life that those feelings are still there. We can't help the feelings that come up, but we do something about the faith. We do something about the choice to forgive, the choice to release, the choice to bless, the choice to say you don't need to feel any obligation to me anymore because I let it go. I bless you. I will support you, Joseph said. You don't need to be afraid. Well, five things that come to my mind about Joseph's life. Number one, forgiveness takes courage. It takes courage. It takes determination. It takes saying, I will forgive. No matter what I feel, no matter what comes back to my mind in memories, I make the choice to forgive. I believe that forgiveness always begins with a choice. The choice to say, I forgive. It takes courage. It takes time. Sometimes we want to think that forgiveness comes right away. And when we've been hurt and we try to forgive, but we struggle with that, we have trouble because it doesn't always seem to happen right away. Well, the truth is, forgiveness is a process. And it doesn't always happen right away. And sometimes it took Joseph a while. I don't know exactly how long, months, a year, going back and forth and all that he wrestled with. But I realize that sometimes we might feel defeated about forgiving because we want it to happen. And we want it to change how we feel. And it doesn't always do that. The feelings don't always come along right away. Sometimes there's a big difference between the choice of forgiveness and the feelings that come with it. Forgiveness takes time. And to be a person who truly forgives you, you have to give yourself time. You have to be accountable. You have to be accountable to God's Spirit and say, even though I don't feel good about it today, even though I'm wrestling with this issue or this person or this problem or this pain or whatever it is, that I choose to persevere even when it takes longer than I want to. Forgiveness takes patience. It takes patience of saying to God, God, keep working in me. Help me. In this place, in this process, help me to forgive. Help me to have a heart like Jesus. Help me, we look at this story, to have a heart like Joseph. Every time they came back afraid, Joseph reassures them, help me to be patient. Perseverance. Patience and perseverance obviously go together. But forgiveness takes perseverance. Sometimes it takes going a step forward and a step back, or two steps forward and two steps back, or whatever it is. Sometimes it's a journey. It's a journey. Sometimes we want life to be so A, B, C, D, and it goes great spiritually, but the truth is, the reality is, as human beings, sometimes we wrestle with things that take a long time, and sometimes forgiveness is a part of it. On the other hand are these brothers, and the ability to be forgiven, the ability to accept forgiveness. I mentioned that there might be some here tonight who are struggling with something that's hard to let go, but there might be some people here tonight that really struggle to be forgiven. You just struggle to really accept the forgiveness of God. It's counterintuitive to really accept forgiveness. But I want to tell you how forgiving God is. He doesn't hold back at all. Freely and gracefully, God forgives you when you seek Him. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to say over and over again, God. You don't have to keep coming back to it and say, God, do you know I'm really sorry? All you have to do is understand what grace is and forgiveness is. Understand that God graciously gives His forgiveness to all those who will receive Him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Perseverance, one more great character. It takes character to forgive, and Joseph shows us that. This great story affirms some of the great truths of our faith and can help us when we struggle to forgive. In his own words, Joseph's words of faith and character are amazing. In closing tonight, I'm going to read three verses and then we're going to watch a 3-minute video and then pray. But I want you to look again at the words of Joseph and look at his faith and look at what he says and look at what he does as he makes the choice to forgive. The first one is chapter 50, verses 7 and 8. I think I have them on the screen, yeah. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. It takes a great faith to attribute to God the things that should be attributed to God when we go through hard times. Joseph was able to say, God, you're in charge. You're in control. He was able to say to these brothers, I know that you think it was all about you, but you're wrong. God has had me in his hand all along. That is a great faith. See, the focus for Joseph all through this process is not on his own feelings or his hurts or his opportunity for revenge. All along, his focus is on who God is. What a beautiful picture. The second one, the short phrase. Joseph asked the question, am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? You know, when we're struggling to forgive, probably would be something very good for us to think about these words, am I in the place of God? Joseph somehow had this vision of God that said, you know what, this is God's. I have to let it go. This is God's. And in verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph could get the big picture. He got Joseph got the little bits, but he also got the bigger picture. He said, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. Amazing faith. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great book and this great life of Jacob and Joseph and what we learn from it. I thank you for the story of forgiveness. Lord God, on both sides of this story are truths that are important for us to hear and to know deep in our hearts. Lord, for some that may be here tonight and they're struggling with forgiving, they're struggling with what to do with the emotions and the feelings, Lord God, I pray that you would help them to be able to hear from Joseph's heart and his ability to be able to say, am I in the place of God? And maybe to let go of things that hurt, maybe to be able to throw them away and say, God, I put my faith and my trust in you, and I release those that have hurt me and harmed me, and God, that you would help us to deal with issues of forgiveness, and Lord, that you would help us to be able to be free from that. And Lord, if there might be some here tonight also that struggle to be forgiven and they struggle with guilt from the past or shame or these words that we've seen in this video, God, I pray that you would help those to be able as well to cast them away and cast them into the sea that you've promised. As far as the east is from the west, so far as you have moved our transgressions from us. We thank you, God, for your forgiveness. I pray that we would learn what kind of God you are, and we would come to know you deeper and love you more and be thankful for the kind of God you are, I pray. Thank you tonight for this story. Thank you for your truth, God. Help us to hear what you want us to, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for